Hey everybody, welcome back to the Introversion Podcast. It is Friday, July 10th. Of course, I had to look that up because I had no idea what day today is, other than the fact that it was Friday. TGIF, yeah, whatever, what the fuck. So yeah, whatever. Going to be a quick episode today, a sort of impromptu short episode. I think my mission at the moment is to keep this episode as short as possible, to probably make it the shortest episode I've done yet. Because I may have mentioned before, I'm trying to get into this habit of just being able to knock out an episode. You know, some things that are on my mind, just gather my thoughts, hit record, and just get it out there. You know, just off my chest and out there into the ether, into the 5G ether that's killing us all with coronavirus. Yeah, I just watched a video about that. Nobody probably noticed what I just said, and that's totally fine. So, not that I'm a conspiracy theorist or anything, but yeah, changing subjects. So the title of today's episode is Process of Elimination. And the reason why, or what I mean by that is, I was thinking earlier today about how I, and part of this is the stoicism process, I think, of weeding things out of your life that are not just non-essential, but non-fruitful, you know, unfruitful, you know, fruitless ventures, fruitless people, you know, people that bring you down or don't add value to your life. It's weird, right? When you think about the people in your life, there might be some people who, a lot of times they get on your nerves and you might fight with them and argue with them and it might be kind of contentious and problematic. And yet at the end of the day, when you think about it, they're still adding value to your life. So it's weird, right? When you think about the people you choose to have in your life, what is your selection criteria? What is your process for, you know, are people in or are people out, right? And obviously it's intensely personal. Everybody has their own recipe, has their own equation for how to go about doing so. For me, that process has been an evolution, you know, a multivariate equation of, you know, but I want to talk not so much specifically about people right now. I don't even want to say that I've weeded out of my life, but more so I've allowed to drift out of my life. But I want to talk about how, you know, for those of you who know me, I've played soccer my whole life. I love soccer. I love the beautiful game. I love the sport, everything about it. And, you know, but I, like people do, you know, I got older and, you know, had some knee problems and various injuries. I've had a really bad left shoulder issue that's bothered me for a couple of decades now. And you might think, oh, what does your shoulder problem have to do with soccer? But you know, when you get knocked down, as happens every time I go play seriously, if you fall down and you brace yourself and you get knocked down onto that shoulder, it can be intensely painful. So nursing the shoulder injuries is one of the things that has led me away from playing soccer regularly in these past 5-10 years. Which is sad, you know, but on the other hand, my passion for the beautiful game has been able to live on through playing FIFA on the PlayStation. And when I first got into playing FIFA, it was Christmas 2009 is when I got it. My sister got me a PS3. And the first couple games I got Madden Football and I got FIFA 09. And Madden was so complicated, the controls. Bear in mind that the last time I owned a video game console was Nintendo 8-bit, which was literally just a select button, start button, A, B, and the control pad, up, down, left, right. That was it. And so I kind of fell off the wagon there over the years, and all of a sudden PS3 comes along, and you've got your L2, R2, L1, R1, X, triangle, circle, square buttons, and multi-directional controller. It was just like, it was always a bit overkill for me, and I it was intimidating, and I don't know, I just kind of fell out of being a gamer, but here I was with a free PS3 to play with, and, you know, so Madden was too complicated for me to figure out. I couldn't even kick a field goal. It was too frustrating, and yeah, I could have devoted more time to it and figured it out eventually, but I immediately got into FIFA. Like I said, FIFA 09, and I just fell in love. Like, I just loved playing the game so much.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
It really just kind of grew and blossomed from there. It was kind of the evolution of the sport for me, for going from playing it in the real world to just playing the video game. So FIFA 09, you know, I played it for that first year. I played against the computer, and I played against friends who would come to visit, my friend Aaron especially. Would come over, and that's how I played. I played FIFA 09, I played FIFA 10. I used to just love, you know, when friends come over and we play, and I would play some friends online, FIFA 11 and FIFA 12. I'm trying to think back to, FIFA World Cup 2010. I think that was the South Africa World Cup. And that was when I played with my friend Brian, who I just interviewed for the podcast this past Sunday night. And I will probably be posting his episode next, this coming Tuesday. So you'll get to hear from him. We won't be talking about fun stuff like FIFA, though. We will be talking about the serious issues of racism in America today and all that shit. But anyway, yeah, so I just had such good times playing FIFA World Cup against Brian, like online, head-to-heads, and granted, I won most of the time, which made it a lot more fun, but I don't know, I just, my point is, I loved playing FIFA, and he got me into playing pro clubs, actually, so, which was another mode in the game, for those of you who don't know. And later on, I got into playing Ultimate Team. So, that, you know, FIFA has all these different modes of gameplay, and I loved it. You know, I just loved it. It brought me so much joy, so much fun, you know, just exhilaration. You get that little adrenaline rush of that, you know, that competition, that competitiveness that had been lacking in my life. I guess this was all probably around my 30s, right? Like my early 30s, mid. My point is, playing all that FIFA, it took a lot of time out of my life, right? But I have no regrets about it. Because it was so fun. And I have such fond memories of all that. And it's interesting thing about time in your life, right? And when you're on your deathbed someday and you're looking back at your life and you're thinking about what things were important or what do you regret? Are you happy with how you spent the time in your life? And I certainly have a lot of regrets. There's certainly a lot of activities and things I've done and people I've spent time with that I regret giving so much to. And, but FIFA is not one of those things. Like FIFA was one of those things where I used to really enjoy playing it and it brought a lot of joy to my life. And I have no regrets about all that. But eventually the time came where I got really hardcore into it in 2017, I think it was. And, it was after I left New York and I think I was kind of experiencing depression at the time. So I just left New York, and I had just lost my hearing in my right ear. For those of you who don't know, that happened to me. I experienced SSHL, which is sudden sensorineural hearing loss. So I lost all hearing in my right ear for a couple months. Luckily, I got a lot of it back. But still to this day, it's something that has deeply affected me, and I live with tinnitus permanently in my right ear, so it's a constant ringing. And it does affect your psyche and your mindset and your lifestyle choices. So basically, I've had to learn to adapt. I've had to learn to live with it. And it's caused me to be a lot, I don't want to say quieter of a person, but my life is definitely a lot more quiet since then. I don't go out to loud parties and concerts. In fact, I have not been to a concert since my hearing loss in 2016. Which is interesting because the times we live in now with bars and concerts and big sporting events and all these big gatherings being all shut down, it's almost like we're all in the same playing field now, because I wasn't going to be going to those things anyways, but now nobody else can too. So in a way it's kind of like, okay, everybody else can feel my pain a little bit. But anyway, my point there was, let's see, I played a lot of FIFA, right? In 2017. And part of it was because I was just down and out. I left New York, which I left, except for the fact for my hearing loss, I think it was a good thing that I left New York, and I'm certainly glad I'm not there anymore. But it was tough because I came home to Stafford, Virginia, and I was living with my parents, and I turned 40, and it was like, wow, what the fuck am I doing with my life, you know? And I was just kind of down and out at that point, you know? Like, it was a different form of depression than what I experienced when I turned 30, because I think at 30, I just felt like my life wasn't heading anywhere in the direction of where I wanted it to go. And I needed to question some things. I needed to question my values and my choices. And that's ultimately what led me out of religion, which was a big part of me coming out of that depression and that funk and really transforming in my 30s. But when I was 40, it wasn't so much, it was a different kind of depression. It was really more so dealing with the trauma of my hearing loss, and also our dog Brownie just died, our German Shepherd. And honestly, the day Brownie died, that was one of the saddest days of my life. I don't know if I want to say the saddest day of my life, but honestly, off the top of my head, I can't think of another day that I felt so sad, other than maybe this one girl when she broke my heart a long time ago. And I'm obviously not going to get into all that now, but yeah, so there was a lot I was dealing with in 2017, and it was just kind of depressing. And I don't want to say it was like a deep depression. I feel like it was just like I was dealt a lot of blows all at once, and I just needed some time to process it all, and that's what I did. And I think me playing a lot of FIFA in 2017 was my sort of escapism. It was my way of just, you know, it was just my soothing drug to help take my mind off of the doldrums of my life, you know, because I had no social life there, and was dealing with the hearing loss and the sadness and all that. So I ended up playing a lot of FIFA that year, and it was probably way too much FIFA. And the unfortunate thing is around then, I guess that must have been about, I guess it was FIFA 17. Or FIFA 18, I can't remember. So it must have been FIFA 17 because it came out in 2016 that I was playing. And the game was really frustrating on a lot of levels. There was just so much lag, and I would just find myself yelling and at the TV so much. And I'm not one of those people to throw the controllers, but I definitely experienced a lot of FIFA rage. And I just really had to, I mean, that was when they, for those of you who know, that was when they started weekend league. You know, it was competitive, but you know, you're playing against some of the top players in the world, and it was like 40 matches a weekend, and it was like, it's kind of like, how serious are you going to take it? And I took it maybe, I don't know, 80% serious, but the point is I was playing it a lot and I was taking it seriously, and I didn't really have anything else going on in my life, especially socially, so poured myself into it. But luckily, fast forward into 2018, I kind of snapped out of that funk, and I was like, all right, I don't know what's next, but I gotta get productive. I gotta get on with my life. I gotta, you know,
let's get on with it.
Get creative, get productive, do something more fruitful or worthwhile other than just playing FIFA, right? So I remember, I think it was, it must have been at the end of 2017, right at the start of 2018, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna create my YouTube channel. I'm gonna focus on my YouTube channel. And I'm going to do all this awesome, like, pop culture, like, video edits and mashups and music and just, like, all this cool stuff. And I'm going to be able to monetize it and get some money coming in, and I'll build my audience. It's going to be great. And I was gathering up a whole library of clips and movies and all this stuff. And I guess it was around then, yeah. So 2018 started, and there was that whole controversy with that one blonde white YouTuber douchebag guy who was poking fun at the dead Japanese bodies in Japan. I forget the dude's name. It's probably for the best that I forget his name, but that whole thing happened, and YouTube used it, I guess, partially as an excuse to change their policies. And it ended up being that they changed their monetization policies. So all of a sudden, if you have a small channel, you can no longer monetize it, you know, even if you were only making $50 with it or a couple hundred dollars with it. Nope. down to zero. You can't monetize at all until you get 1,000 followers and 4,000 watch hours, I think it was. So, you know, at the time, I had a couple small channels. I had Skiller Moves, which was my FIFA, my soccer channel, which was doing all right. And I was actually earning a little bit of money there, but it was under their threshold of 1,000 followers. But all of a sudden, that got cut off. And the new channel that I was just starting basically was killed at birth because I didn't have enough followers. So it was going to be a long time to be able to monetize it. So basically, it was kind of just dealt a blow of, and you know, I remember getting onto Twitter and all these other YouTubers and everybody was frustrated and trying to help support each other. And we were all, you know, like sub for sub and let's all subscribe to each other's channels and all that bullshit. And, you know, that got me up to like 100 followers or 100 subscribers or 150 or whatever. But, you know, it was kind of stupid because it was basically a whole bunch of people who weren't really interested in my content and I wasn't really interested in their content either. So you really wouldn't be getting much engagement anyways. And really, that's not what this is all about, right? It's not about just having a certain number of subscribers and views. And it's like, that's just bullshit, you know? Like,
this is such bullshit, man. This is bullshit.
The only reason we were all doing that was to be able to qualify by YouTube's new standards in order so that we could actually monetize our videos. So all the time and energy and effort we put into making our videos, we could actually make a few pennies on and eventually a few dollars and, you know, make it a little bit more worthwhile that way. But I don't know. At some point, I kind of fell out of that whole thing and I just realized, you know, and censorship and YouTube started censoring people and copyright strikes and all this stuff. And I was like, you know what? I don't think this is going to work. I'm starting from scratch here on a platform that seems to be going in the wrong direction. And I feel like this might not be a smart move. So as excited as I was to start 2018, later in that year, I kind of started to feel like, all right, I think maybe YouTube is not the way to go. So basically, all right. So I kind of stopped playing FIFA, right, to open up this opportunity of doing the YouTube thing. And now I eliminated YouTube as a viable source of income, as a means of building an audience and creating content and really having it grow. And I think I was right to let go of that dream. Because it's too risky, right? Like, look at Stefan Molyneux. For those of you who don't know, he's this philosopher guy. And yeah, he has some controversial views here and there. But the guy is prolific. And he has put out so many videos. And I'm sure he's helped a lot of people with their relationships and what he does, sort of online counseling. And the light that he shed on so many subjects, everything, you know, with from race relations and politics and, you know, just police brutality and all these things. And, you know, these are very controversial subjects and you have to be really careful about how you broach these things. And apparently he said something a few weeks ago and he's gone. So YouTube eliminated his channel. I can't remember what his final count was. It might have been 1 million followers or something like that, but he's gone. YouTube just destroyed, obliterated his channel, and that's it. So when I see things like that, I'm like, wow, I was just small potatoes with my little YouTube channel or my set of small little YouTube channels. But I think if I kept it going and pushed it really hard, it might ultimately, you know, there might just be one video or one thing that I say and they're like, oh, nope, that's hate speech. Oh, we're shutting you down. And then it's like, wow, there goes your whole income model, right? So yeah, anyway, I don't want this video to be all about YouTube, but the point is, process of elimination, right? So I've been trying some things. Not that FIFA was something I tried to make a living off of, although in theory, if I got really good at it, like world-class good, I could have been a contender in tournaments online and made some money that way. Or, you know, like I said, I tried creating a YouTube channel and streaming gameplay, things like that, but only to moderate success. Certainly not enough to quickly get over 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours. So kind of I scrapped that. So basically there's a pattern here, right? There's the pattern of me playing soccer my whole life and that's been eliminated now. And then there was really getting into FIFA and enjoying that. That's been eliminated. And then I want to say the next level from playing FIFA was just getting back into watching soccer again, which I hadn't really done regularly in a while. And I think the last couple of years I got more into watching a lot of Premier League, and of course, I always enjoy the World Cup, so I got really into the 2018, was it? Yeah, 2018 World Cup in Russia, and really enjoyed watching that. And then I was depressed, of course, when it was over. I was sad. But interestingly, I think it was the 2018 World Cup is when I started betting on soccer. That was the first time I started betting on sports. And that became a new, a potential new source of income if I could get it right, right? If I could figure out betting. And I did learn a lot of lessons early on. I made a lot of bad bets and I didn't really know what the hell I was doing, but I did get better at it. But yeah, so I was trying to develop a system, really. And long story short, I feel like at best with my system that I developed on betting on soccer and sports, because I also bet on NFL, but I feel like at best I was only breaking even. So it was kind of like I was always losing a little bit here and there, losing a little bit here and there. And it sucked. It was frustrating because it was always like one thing away from making a big profit, right? So you'd have a parlay of six things to happen and I'd be sitting there waiting for the sixth thing to happen. And that's the thing that looked like it was about to happen, and then it didn't happen at the last minute, and there you go. Instead of being up $300, you just lost another $30, you know, and that process kind of kept going. So all that being said, obviously when sports got shut down earlier this year because of the pandemic, you know, there's no more watching soccer, there's no more betting on soccer. And now recently, starting with the Bundesliga, I guess about a month or two ago, soccer was back. But empty stadiums, and I just wasn't feeling it. Just wasn't feeling it. And it's funny because you don't really think about it, all the components of a sport and what makes the sport interesting, but you realize it's not just the players and the sport itself. It's the whole experience. It's the commentators. It's the statistics. It's the overall presentation. It's the pregame. It's the hype. It's the fans. It's the chants. It's the camaraderie and the team. I mean, they literally made it so that players couldn't celebrate when they scored a goal. Like, they couldn't touch each other because of the disease. They put all these rules. And I'm just watching this, and I'm like, what is this? Like, they score a goal, and they don't even look that excited, and there's nobody cheering. And it's like, this is like a scrimmage. This is boring. And I remember finally that first Bundesliga match came back on, and I watched it, and I turned it off within 10 minutes. I was like, this is not... It was depressing me more. It was making me think more about coronavirus and all these things as opposed to taking my mind off it, which is kind of supposed to be the whole point of sports. It's supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be something that adds value to your life, and it's a form of escapism, right? Because it takes our mind off of all of the things that stress us out with our work and divorce or, you know, sickness or strife, whatever, you know. It's like sports is kind of one of those escapes where you can just kind of lose yourself in that world and have fun with it and celebrate your team and all those kind of things. And when I tuned in to watch, it was just like, nah, this is bumming me out, man. This is bumming me out more than anything. So all that being said, it's like, all right, playing soccer is out, playing FIFA is out, watching soccer is out, betting on soccer is out. And for those of you who don't know, I talked about it briefly, I think, in the first episode of this podcast with Tommy Danger. We talked about MGTOW. And again, this is a major subject that I'm not really going to get into now, but I adopted MGTOW pretty much right after I broke up with the last girlfriend I had. It was... I guess around March 2019. So I've stuck with it, though, you know, and there's a number of reasons for that. But basically, I haven't been on a date in coming up on a year and a half now. And it's weird because part of me misses it, but part of me doesn't even really miss it, you know. And the whole concept of marriage and kids, like, that's been kind of thrown out the window, because if you're not even dating, you know, how is that going to lead to marriage and kids? It's not, you know. So I'm hardcore, but I'm not hardcore in the sense of, like, look, if I met a great girl and she, you know, rocked my world and blew my mind and I was like, wow, I can't live without this person. I love her so much. Like, I would, I don't want to say move heaven and earth, but I would definitely shift my lifestyle and expectations and plans for life around to make room and, you know, center my life around her, and like we build something together and build a family together and all that. But it's really unlikely, you know, the way things have been going. And I'm just really not even excited about that prospect anymore. I've kind of put it off, put it out of my mind. and essentially, you know, back to the topic of process of elimination. I've eliminated dating. I've eliminated marriage and kids. And I haven't had a drink in like 4 months now, 5 months now. It's crazy. And again, it's one of those things where, yeah, I kind of miss it. You know, it's fun to drink a little bit and get buzzed. And but on the other hand, it's like, eh, you know, you get used to living without it, you know. So drinking has been eliminated. And obviously with the pandemic, like going out to bars and just, you know, that kind of social environments, like that's been eliminated. Traveling is something I've loved to do over the years, and that's been eliminated. You know, forget about traveling now, you know, especially overseas. Until there's some resolution about this pandemic thing, and God knows, like, I'm starting to reach the point, I think I said in a previous episode, last time I did a solo episode, how I'm starting to feel anger. You know, I kind of entered that angry phase of like, I'm just lashing out and just so pissed off about being a shut-in, you know? And that anger has played out in certain ways. It's played out, I would say, most simply just in terms of me posting more on Facebook, you know, posting articles about my, you know, my issues with BLM and my issues with the handling of COVID and the way people are thinking about it and all this stuff. So I've just been posting more on Facebook, but really that's about it, you know. So, you know, but I have not been going and looking for fights per se, right? So I haven't been logging onto Facebook and looking what other people are posting and then commenting and getting into it with them and head to head. And no, my anger hasn't played out that way. So when I say anger, it's really like a really mild expression of my anger is how it's played out. So yeah, traveling's out with the pandemic. And I've obviously talked about my relationship with Facebook and social media, but I'm proud of myself. Well, let me say this first. So the process of eliminating Facebook started with me unfollowing a bunch of people, a bunch of friends on Facebook. I guess my first wave was a couple months ago. Then I did a second wave. So I've ended up unfollowing, not unfriending. I don't think I've actually unfriended anyone, but I've unfollowed maybe about 100 to 150 of my friends on Facebook. So that was sort of the beginning of the process. The second phase, which I'm kind of in the process of now, is basically just kind of like, well, why am I even looking at Facebook? Why am I even using it? You know, like, again, it's one of those things where, is it adding value to your life? Is it making you happier? Is it, you know, so, and I just feel like, nah, it's really not. It's really not. So I'm proud of myself. I'm proud to say that I have done a pretty good job of laying off Facebook this past week. Very minimal posting on my part. Extremely minimal me viewing posts of friends and other news articles and things on there. So I'm glad for that. And I think it's helped, you know, it's helped me this week by getting off of Facebook all that much more. Which leads me to today and, you know, kind of everything I've talked about here is, everything I've talked about here today is basically been a, all of the things I've been eliminating from my life, right? And people I've been eliminating from my life. Obviously, I didn't really get into people, but when I say people for now, I just mean like Facebook and my interaction with a lot of my quote-unquote friends online. I have certainly not eliminated or weeded out my interactions with my closest friends. In fact, I've probably upped that this past week to compensate for the lack of social interaction with my entire social network, you know, my friends out there on Facebook and whatnot. So this is good. This is definitely healthier for me to just be engaging more and more and going deeper with my closer and better friends.
This is the way.
This is the way.
But my kind of my point that I want to get to here is with me eliminating so many things from my life, you know, playing soccer, watching soccer, betting on soccer, playing FIFA, trying to do the YouTube thing, you know, dropping that, dating, marriage, kids, traveling, drinking alcohol, going out, socializing, using social media, you know, Facebook. Like, I've eliminated all these things. And it dawned on me this morning, I was like starting to realize, like, I think it's good to weed out things that aren't really bringing value or joy to your life. But at a certain point, I'm kind of wondering, like, what am I filling the void with? you know. And at best, right now, my solution has been, I wish I could say working out and fitness, because that would definitely fit right in there in terms of how a good way for me to spend all my time and energy on. But unfortunately, the gyms are all still closed. And last I heard in Philly, they're going to potentially open them up in August. But I have a feeling they're going to push it even further. And the next thing you know, we'll be entering into flu season again in October, November. And of course, the election in November. And God knows what's going to happen with that. But basically, my point is, I'm not holding my breath with the, you know, waiting for the announcement of gyms to reopen. So unfortunately, I'm falling into very poor shape. I've been trying to do what I can do in terms of doing like some basic push-ups and sit-ups and whatever, but this is really like, it's not cutting it. I looked in the mirror the other day and it was a depressing image because my back is so scrawny now. My arms are like skin and bone. Like I've just lost all my muscle mass and it bums me out, you know? So unfortunately, the gym and physical fitness is not something I can use to replace all the things I've eliminated from my life. It has been something that has been eliminated from my life, not by my choosing, but just by the nature of the circumstances of this bullshit 2020 year that we're all living through right now. So at best, like I was saying, at best, all I've been able to do is fill the void with learning skills and launching my new websites and creating more content and making art. And, you know, one thing has been this podcast, and it's definitely something that I enjoy doing. Would I say it's fun? Like, fun is not really the right word, but fun is not really the right word for any of the things I'm doing, like learning. Getting better at Photoshop, getting better at Illustrator, learning to make music, learning podcasting and getting into this whole thing. And like, I enjoy it. I enjoy the process. Like, you know, I enjoy all of this stuff, but, and it's therapeutic. It's cathartic for me to be able to express myself in these ways. But fun is not the right word, you know? It's not fun in the way that playing soccer used to be fun. It's not fun in the way that playing FIFA used to be fun. You know, it's not fun in the way of like, you go out to a friend's birthday party in New York City and you have a few drinks and you meet a girl and you hook up and it's just like this exciting mystery adventure, you know, the unknown factor of what could happen today. It's like your life is cinematic in that way, right? It's an adventure. It's exciting. And no, my life now is so, in some ways I can't complain. Like I have freedom, you know, in the sense of I wake up whenever I want and I can work on whatever I want to do. I could literally fire my PlayStation back up and just start playing video games all day if I wanted to do that. But I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to just be a slug. I want to work at something. I want to build, you know, something of value, you know, for others to enjoy, you know, whether it's me designing fonts or creating a podcast that people enjoy listening to or whatever it is, you know. So it's kind of this combination of, you know, and I'm feeling out different areas, right? Like there's the idea of me making video content and I'm creating a brand, you know, a little bit of a teaser, but I hope it's something that you and a lot of people will get excited about. And I hope to launch that new site. Honestly, I haven't even started working on the site yet, so it'll be at least a couple weeks, but I would hope definitely sometime by August, September, I launch that site where I'll just be creating original video content, just cool animations and videos and pop culture stuff and political news commentary and mashups and just like crazy shit, you know, just weaving it all together. And I really want to launch that. And yes, in a way, I'm kind of back to the YouTube thing with that, but I'm also trying to research some kind of monetization strategy right now where I don't have to fully rely on YouTube. So it's tricky right now, of course, because everybody knows YouTube is the name of the game, but I'm trying to figure all that out, you know? So it's a lot to figure out these days. And I don't know. So I guess I'll start to wrap things up here by just saying, it's weird, and I wonder if anybody else feels this way too, especially people where your life is not all completely scripted out at this point, you know. I understand that if a lot of people are already married, and, you know, a lot of my friends are married by now or have kids, that if you're married and you have kids now and you're in your 30s and you're in your 40s, it's kind of like, all right, well, you just keep moving forward in what you've already set up. You know, you've probably already got your job. You're just going to keep going at that job and keep raising your kids and send them off to college and then, you know, grow old with your spouse. And it's all kind of scripted out. But for those of you out there who are maybe in your 30s and 40s or 50s and, you know, probably not so much in your 20s, because I feel like when you're single in your 20s, the world is full of possibilities and you're still maybe optimistic and excited for what lies on the horizon and all the possibilities of what could happen. But for those of us who, you know, when you enter into your 30s and your 40s and you're not married, and like I mentioned earlier, there's not really any prospects for that. And it starts to feel like you don't even necessarily want that. Then the question arises, you know, after you've eliminated so many of the key components of life out of your life, like, you know, solid, steady job and marriage and kids and all the white picket fence and all that stuff. Like, once you've eliminated all those things, like, what do you fill the void with? And it's funny how all these things I've eliminated, I've completely left out a huge thing that I've eliminated, which is religion. You know, for those of you who don't know, I left Christianity when I turned, well, it started when I turned 30, but it finished around probably age 32 or so, 33, when I completely left the church. But when you leave all of these things behind, when you eliminate, you know, all these things that aren't really working in your life, all these things you're not really feeling, I don't know. It's a bit of an existential crisis, but I wonder if other people feel this. I'd be curious to hear other people's take on this, if you feel any form of this, where you're going through life and you're trying things out. And I think that is what life is about. It's about trying things out. It's about experimenting and discovering your own identity and shaping your own identity and your values and who you are as a person and what you want your life to be all about. And I mean, that's life, right? But at the moment, and I think the pandemic is just compounding the situation. It's just making things much worse, because I feel like I can't, it's so hard for me to move forward in any direction, because I just, you can't do anything. Like, I'm just stuck at home in front of my computer, isolated, and you just, you can't go anywhere. You know, you can go to the grocery store, put a mask on, and that's pretty much it. You know, like, I did have my friend Rob come over yesterday, and we were brainstorming another project we're working on together, and I loved that. That was one of the highlights of my week. And, you know, I guess I have to feel like right now, you know, if we're going to be meeting once a week regularly, like, that's going to be kind of my little dose of social interaction per week. And that's going to be, have to be enough for me to be fueled by. And luckily I'm an introvert, so I can, a little bit can go a long way, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I just find myself sitting here wondering, like, what am I working toward? You know, and I don't just mean like, oh, okay, if I get a couple of these business ventures going and I'm selling fonts and I'm making videos and I'm growing in my followers and, you know, and being able to monetize somehow, and all of a sudden I have $500 a month coming in through that, and then $1,000 a month coming in, and or $2,000, and just like growing into, you know, a viable business, right? Like, this is what people do. And I see other YouTubers talking about it and other people, you know, and it's frustrating right now because I want to take their advice, but at the same time, it's frustrating for me to hear them talk about their success. And, you know, who knows if it's bullshit or not. And it's all some kind of Ponzi scheme. They're just trying to, you know, whatever, lure you into their, get their ebook and their program or whatever. But the point is it can be inspiring, and you want to learn like what's working for other people, and you want to apply that to your own life and try to get some success yourself. But on the other hand, it can be deflating when you see other people thriving who seem less talented in a way than you are, you know? But it's just that they figured out a few key things that you haven't figured out. And, I don't know. It makes me want to figure all those things out, but my point here, and I don't want to go off on that tangent, but my point here is that, like, okay, let's say I do actually get successful with what I'm doing, you know, and I've got a few things I'm juggling. I've got the introversion site, which, you know, there's a store there, but really, I haven't put ads on it. I don't know. Maybe that's something I should consider, is putting ads on the introversion site, because I do get, you know, a decent amount of traffic there. And, you know, I don't know. But regardless of what I do to get some money coming in, like, assuming money's coming in, it's still, we're just delaying the question of, now that you've eliminated all these things in your life that are potentially going to give you happiness, what actually is going to bring you happiness? And not just a satisfaction or contentment in what you're working on and accomplishing, because that's great, but on a next level thing, right? Like, what's going to get your, what's going to get you riled up? What's going to get you emotionally high? What's going to get you feeling on top of the world? What's going to get you feeling super excited? And I don't know. I don't know what that is, because I feel like I've just eliminated so many things that are supposed to be that for you. So I don't know. I don't know. And I'm obviously not going to conjure up the answer right here now as I close up this episode, but I'm just going to leave it there because I just wanted to share this. This is what was on my mind today and sort of where I'm at in my struggle during the pandemic and lockdown and all this shit. So I'll leave it at that. Definitely, I welcome comments. If you have stories to share of yourself, your own frustrations during the pandemic, or if you're also a person out there who you feel like you've tried a lot of things and you've scratched a lot of things off the list, and it's maybe starting to bum you out that you've scratched so many things off the list, you're starting to wonder, when is something going to be on the list that actually works out, you know, or something lasting on the list that you can really center all of your passion and energies toward, and it will actually be a worthwhile pursuit, right? I don't know. I'm wondering what that's going to be for me, and I'm a little nervous about moving forward in life year after year without finding that point of passion, or, you know, that thing that you're so in love with, whether it's a person or a project or whatever, or cause. Because life is short, you know? In theory, I'm halfway through my life. It could be a lot. I could be more than halfway through my life. I could die next week. I could die a couple years from now, and or 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And it's like, well, I want this next year that I'm still alive for, or the next 20 years, I want this to be an amazing 20 years, you know? I want it to be awesome. And it's just tricky to figure out the plan, the course of action to getting there, right? And, you know, I watched a Stoicism video the other day, and it's great. I think they were talking about how, yeah, it's not about that destination. It's not like I'm going to reach that point of happiness where it's like, finally, yeah, I got it. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's more, it is a process, and it's more like, I think it's more like stepping into this lifestyle that you're crafting, and you're like, yeah, I'm digging this, right? Like, I'm moving forward. It's like you feel it kind of coming together, right? Like, I feel like you got really cool, awesome, funny, smart, talented people in your life, and your energies are split between a couple projects that you're super passionate about, and you have a great following, and people love what you're putting out there in the world, and it inspires you to keep making more of it and doing more of it. And maybe you have a lover, or maybe you have a series of lovers, and, you know, you just experience different people and you connect with them on different levels. And it's just like, you know, it's just, it's awesome, right? Like that kind of excitement and richness and balance and of life. I want that, you know, and I think most people are right. Shouldn't we all want that? You know, but it's just a matter of how do we get there? And it's interesting because, like, I'm sitting here struggling with this in my mind in complete isolation all this time. And meanwhile, everybody else is debating about the racism and the police brutality and all that stuff. But I can almost see why people get so into that. And I can see why I've gotten sucked into it more than I probably should have, is because there is that, everything that I've been talking about today. It's like human beings, like, we want something to be passionate about. We want to pour ourselves into something. The problem is we keep choosing the wrong things. And I don't mean to speak for everybody else in that front, but I'm pretty sure we've all probably invested our time and energy and money into some wrong things in our lives that we probably regret. And You know, but even some of the things I listed today, like playing FIFA, I don't regret playing FIFA. I loved that time, but at the same time, it was just for that period of time. Like FIFA, the game kind of, the gameplay got worse, and I stopped playing. And I realized I was devoting too much of myself to that, you know, so, but that's fine. But for the time being, it was great, but now I'm in a different time in life, and it needs to be something else, and I don't know what that something else is just yet. And I hope I will gain clarity about what that thing is or what those things are going to be moving forward. But yeah, we'll see. I don't want to ramble on further about this. So yeah, if you have thoughts, struggles of your own, if you're feeling isolated, if you, you know, want to talk about, you know, your own frustrations with your trajectory in life, or this feeling of like you've tried out a bunch of things and you're scratching them off your list and you're becoming disillusioned, you're becoming cynical, whatever. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear your story. And if you want me to read it on the podcast, I will be glad. I will share your own stories on the podcast here. Just email me. Email me at podcast@introversion.com and become a part of the podcast, you know. And if you feel frustrated and you don't have a place to voice your voice, this can be that for you, you know, as it is for me. So yeah, feel free to reach out. And of course, I'm also on social media everywhere. Jay Kaslow, it's JayKaslow on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. So yeah, I will leave it at that for now. Process of elimination. Yeah. All right. Hope you all are well. It's Friday evening now. I will probably post this tomorrow, actually, on Saturday when you're hearing this. But I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, or are in the process of enjoying a wonderful weekend wherever you are. Hope you're safe and healthy. Take care, y'all. Until next time. Bye. Today's episode is brought to you by sugar.
Sugar, do, 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 do. Oh, honey, honey, do, do, do.
I hope this has been enlightening for you.
The Introversion Podcast is on its way, but we've obviously got a long way to go to get to where we want to be getting to. I will certainly be doing my part in cranking out new episodes every week, but here's where you come in. If you haven't yet done so, hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're currently listening on. That way you can obviously get notified as soon as new episodes arrive. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give a 5-star rating. It just takes a second, and it will empower the Introversion Podcast to rise up and conquer the suppression of algorithms that would otherwise crush this fledgling podcast into unknown oblivion. So yeah, please leave a rating, and even better, an actual review. Just a few words expressing what you dig about the podcast honestly would mean the world to me and would really help provide the motivation to keep this baby growing. Also, I'd love to hear from you at any time. Comments, questions, or if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, send an email to podcast@introversion.com. You can also connect with me on social media. I am Jay Kaslow. That's JayKaslow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, pretty much wherever. I really want the Introversion Podcast to be something special. Raw, informative, entertaining, experimental,
inconceivable,
enlightening, therapeutic for you and me. Let's keep the conversations going about a range of topics that affect us all. Let's rise above all the hate and sickness and sadness and strife that plague this world. Let's seek to better understand each other and ultimately live our best lives. Seriously, let's do this thing.
Thank you.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.